Judy.
Yes, man. Hannah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're starting where we left off yesterday. So the two handouts that we will use today are on the unique astrological times link underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. And, or at the bottom if you're using a mobile device. When that link opens up, scroll down to the section preparation for the period of Shavuot. And we will be using the Psalm landing page and material for a Tanit Dibur. And later in the Shavuot period, we'll use the material for a Tanit Dibur, the Tikkunei Chalali, and Yesod by Abraham Sutton. When you open up the Psalm landing page, scroll down to where you see the Tehillim and the number 2, Tehillim 2. That's where we'll start. And on the PDF file, we will start also at Tehillim 2, Psalm 2. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Shabri Klu, Ishkin Ke, Bit Hilu, Urhimu, Urhilu, Urhilu, Urhimu. Liakta, L'shem, Yud He, Bavad He. Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Tanit Dibur Mitzvah La'shon Tov Mitzvah La'ihino Amadunai Elohino Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Kununei Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Kununeihu Tehillim 2. Say this psalm on the day, the first day, or the day one of the monthly cycle. Psalm 2. This psalm warns against trying to outwit the ways of God. It also instructs one who has reason to rejoice, to tremble, lest his sins cause his joy to be overturned. The above Kavanah is a traditional Kavanah to use when saying this psalm. There's there is an alternative kavanah, or something to contemplate about this kavanah, can you use this kavanah as a vaccine against allowing your joy to become so uncontrollable that you lose it? Because even joy can take you out of balance. Use it as a kavanah to limit your trembling, to limit your fears as well. The first word in the psalm is lama, which is the Hebrew word for why, which is a question word and is used frequently in tefillah or prayer. It's also the operative word in the study of Kabbalah. And I refer you to page 6 of the introduction in Rabbi Sutton's PDF, Yearning for Redemption. Where all the 10 different types of songs are expressed. We're now going to the second page, or is it the third page? No, it's the second page of the psalm portion of the introduction, which really page 55 or 56 of the PDF file. Here David addresses the nations with the same choice. Now beware, you kings. Take heed, you judges of the earth, lest he become angry and you perish on the way. Like so many other nations who rose up and then vanished from the stage of history. The choice is yours. Choose before it is too late, or suffer the consequences. Do you join Israel in its mission to increase the awareness of God among humankind? If you do, you will rise to the true heights of greatness. You will become the new Israel of the future, while Israel will become the priests of an enlightened humanity. These are teachings of Rashi. They are prophecies from Isaiah. If not, know what you will perish, that you will perish. You may rise to the pinnacle of temporary glory and power, but in doing so, you will sow the seeds of your own ruin. As above, it is a choice between being happy or perishing. Yet as it is to foreshadow a happy ending to the historical drama, the last verse in Psalm 2 does indeed read, happy are those who take refuge in him. But will the nations of the world get this message? Why are the nations in a commotion, set themselves against Hashem and against his anointed? Although David himself was anointed by Shmuel, the prophet, he refers here to his descendant, Mashiach ben David, as Hashem's Mashiach, his anointed redeemer. He also refers to the idea of the Meshichut, the Messiahship, and the Messianic mission. It is this idea, together with the revelation of Hashem's oneness, which it expresses, that the power of evil, embodied by Gog, the king of Magog, opposes. In speaking to collective mankind, this psalm thus jumps ahead to the ultimate confrontation between good and evil that will take place as the historical drama draws to its ultimate finale. This psalm was composed to strengthen Israel's faith when just prior to the final redemption, everything, and now we need to go scroll down to the third page. Everything will hang in the balance. It may seem that godly plan has aborted. Chas v'shalom. Of course, the godly plan does not change and does not become aborted. The first verse of Psalm 2. Lama Rabsu Goim Ulumim Yehigurik. Why are the nations in a commotion? And why do governments contrive feudal plans? Rabbi Sutton's introduction makes this very clear. Throughout history, you can look all of the nations who have opposed Israel, who have rendered Israel less than something that they consider a value, another idol, has always failed. Every empire who has arisen, once they have conquered the physical land of Israel, the energy of that land is too much light for them to handle, and they fall. Sometimes that takes a century, sometimes less, but it always happens. How does that impact your personal life today? Think about it. Who has been supporting? What nations have been supporting? The support for Israel, the modern state of Israel, and what nations have not been supporting the modern state of Israel. And always remember it, that the appearance and the illusion may be that Israel, the plan of Hashem, might, God forbid, look like it's been overthrown, but it never is. The second verse. Yitzvu Malkei Eretz Roslim Nosdu Yachad Al Hashem V'al Meshicho. Why do the kings of the earth set themselves in array, and rulers gather together secretly to take counsel against Hashem and against his anointed, saying, The third verse. Denat ka et mos rotemo. Mimenu avotemo. Let us thunder their bandits of morality. Let us thunder their bands of morality and cast off their cords of duty. Is this referring to the plans that the nations are making? Or is it part of the plan and it's referring to casting off the cords of duty? We want to do what we want. Morality is not important. But in truth, in Kabbalah, we are taught that there is no morality in the Torah. There's energy.
HMT.
And the energy. The energy makes the morality work. And so, yes, morality is there, but it is a lower level representative of energy. So good morality, whatever that means, and that's always a function of the society. Good morality is supported by the energy. Bad morality is only given limited energy that will come to an end. The fourth verse. Yosheba'shamayim Yishak Adonai Yilag Lamo. But he who sits or who dwells in the heavens will laugh. Adonai will mock them for thinking that they could defy him. Footnote number 9 is at the bottom of this page. Man sees only what is before his eyes. He is fooled by what he sees. Without the objective perspective provided by the Torah, he can never hope to see his way out of the maze which he himself has created. God sees history from above. What is history? We do have to ask ourselves, what is history? There's a lot of books written about history. Are we supposed to learn from history? The Kabbalah indicates that history is a veil that hides Hashem from our view. It's a very different way of looking at history. If you perceive that the same souls are being reincarnated, history cannot change. But in truth, you may have a population of 1 million people, as an example. And in the next lifetime, there's 999,998. Two people did not reincarnate because they completed their tikkun. Therefore, there is a slight change in history, in the way people perceive the illusion. This is the veil of history. It changes, but slowly. It changes, but only slightly. And that's why you have the adage from the historians, history repeats itself. But like a helix, that is a circle that never gets back to the beginning. It's slightly above the beginning, it's slightly below the beginning. This is the history. It's always returning to the beginning, but not quite exactly the same way. The fifth pasuk. As yedaber elemo viapo vacharono. But the time will come when he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them with his burning indignation. Does God get angry? Does God have burning indignation? What is being said here by King David? Are emotions, human emotions, are real in that they motivate us to change. But when we attribute those emotions to Hashem, we are saying that God is like a human being. But we have to understand the only way for us to understand anger is to understand that it's personal judgment. For us to understand burning indignation, which is an emotion, it's separating us from Hashem. It's not God who changes. God does not become angry. We become angry, and we manifest God's rule on earth through our individual action. This is the important meaning and energy of this particular verse, in my opinion. The sixth pasuk. Vani nasachti malki al tzion har kadoshi. It is I who have anointed David, my king, on Zion, the mountain of my holiness. Why does Hashem use the word Ani and not Anochi? The simple answer that occurs to me is when God is manifesting his attribute of judgment, he doesn't use Anochi, which has a metaphor, as an acronym of giving his soul to us, revealing his soul to us, as I've explained in other places and other classes. The letters of Anochi are an they relate to the words, I write my soul to you. So I is indicating in judgment. God does not want to exercise judgment because in his soul there is no negativity, which judgment can be negative. Yes, we need to discern what is good, what is not good. That's a judgment. Yes, judgment is good. But there's no judgment in the negative sense in the soul of Hashem. The seventh pasuk. Asa pra ehok Adonai Ohewahe Amar Eli Bani Ata Ani Hayom Yelitiha. David declares, I will therefore recount it until it becomes inscribed as law. Hashem said to me, you are my child, whom I have begotten today. Footnote number 10. Meiri is a commentator, one of the sages. David says, in my estimation, this honor that you are according me is like a chok, a royal edict, which must be obeyed whether one understands it or not. David said this in all humility, for he didn't consider himself worthy of being king over Israel. Tzafat Amet, another sage, he writes, David says, I am not worthy of the honor that Hashem is according me. I consider it as a chok, a royal edict, by which the people must abide, even if they do not understand the reasoning behind it. But then Hashem himself answers David, saying, you are definitely worthy. And this for two reasons. First, because you are my son, and I am your father. In addition, today I am making you a new person, as pure as a newborn babe, without the slightest trace of guilt. Meiri comes and says, you are my child, whom I have begotten today. From the day that Shmuel anointed David, Ruach HaKodesh began to stir within him, meaning David. As the verse attests, Hashem's Ruach, Spirit descended upon David from that day onward. According to the Malbim and Amot Chacham, different sages, the words Asapera elchok mean, I will therefore recount it until it becomes inscribed as law. King David embodies the divine attribute of malchut, of kingship. As such, it is his task to revive each and every one of us by shining the light of faith and hope into the darkest reaches of the human mind. The human soul. David is thus the pipeline. In Hebrew, the word is Hatzinor, which shares the same letters as Hartzion, Mount Zion. Through which spiritual light and sustenance flow to the world. This is the deeper meaning of Asapera elchok. Asapera, from the word sapir, the root of sapphire, means I will shine and illuminate. Elchok, similar to echok, immutable law of nature, means into the hok, into the very nature of each and every soul. To each and every one of us, David declares, "Bani Ata, you are God's child. Today you can be reborn to your true mission in the land." The word hope is used many places in the Torah. It's used as a spiritual law that human ability is incapable of understanding it. Yet, the Torah is not law. It's translated many times as law. But the Torah is a strong recommendation. It's saying, if you follow this law, this recommendation, you will remain in balance. If you go against this recommendation, you may, and more than likely will, go out of balance. Do we want to remain in balance? Yes. Is there every mitzvah that we are supposed to do, the positive mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah that we are to not do? Are we to break that mitzvah? The answer is there is a time, there is a circumstance, there is a potential that it's not the right thing to do that positive mitzvah in that situation. The Torah says, do not kill. People say its translation should be do not murder. Because in war, you have to defend yourself. If someone comes to kill you, you are supposed to kill him if necessary to stop you from being killed. So there's no perfect structure of any mitzvah. There's always a time, a circumstance, a set of conditions where we're not supposed to do it. But don't make the mistake of thinking that your rationalization of, oh, I'm justified in doing this, breaking this mitzvah. No, it's never up to your consciousness. Circumstances will define it. Everything is always relative. The eighth verse. Biroim b'shevet barzel kichle yotzer tenapem. You will break your enemy's power with an iron rod and shatter them to pieces as potter's vessels. Do you like these metaphors? An iron rod, is that the strongest thing on earth? Iron is a manufactured alloy. It's made from other things by man. So it's obviously not the strongest thing on earth. And shatter them as a potter's vessels. It's clay, obviously softer than the iron. But again, clay is made by man. Can we just take mud, earth, and water, Is that how you make a potter's clay? The 10th verse. Ve'ata malachim ha'as'ilu ki'vasru shiftei eretz. David speaks, "Now beware, you kings, take heed, you judges of the earth. If you're not looking with the eyes of the spiritual world, with the awareness of the differences between this upside-down world that we live in called Malchut, physicality, and the spiritual rules and earth of Zerampin, of the spiritual worlds, if we don't understand those differences, we cannot understand cause and effect in the physical world. This is my opinion." Verse 11. Ivdu et Adonai Yohewahe Bayira Vagilu Virada. Serve Hashem with awe and rejoice before him with trembling. We had trembling in an earlier verse. Is it the same kind of trembling? Verse 12. Nashku barpen yeanach betovdu derech ki yivar ki metapo. Ashrei kol chosevo. Gird yourselves with purity of heart, lest he arouse his ire, and you perish on the way, like so many other nations who rose up and then vanished from the stage of history. For his wrath might be kindled soon. Happy are those who take refuge in him. We're now going to read all 12 verses. Why are there 12 verses? What do we connect to when we say 12 verses? We connect to the number 12, which represents the 12 tribes of Israel. But it also represents the 12 angels. There are 12, an angel for each tribe. It also connects to Hashem, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, through the four letters on the right, and the four letters, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, on the left, and Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in the center. It connects to the three columns, but it's Hashem as the source of those three columns. Lama rakshu goyim ulumim yegurik Yitatvu malke eretz v'roznim nozdu yachad al Adonai Yohewahe v'al meshicho menatka et mosrotemo v'nashlika mimenu avotemo. Yoshev shamayim Yishak Adonai Yilag Lamo. Az yedaber Eilemo Vapo Yevahalemo Va'ani nasriyasachti Malki al Zion Arkadshi Asa Abrael Hope Adonai Yohewahe Amare Lai Bene Atani Hayom Uli Zika. She'al mimeni v'yetna goyim nachalatecha v'yachazachtecha afsei aret tiroem v'shevet v'irzel Taichla Yotzer Yavtsem V'yatam Melachim Haskilu Haivasru Shiftei Aret Ivdu Et Adonai Yohewahe v'yira v'gilu b'irada Nashku barpen yana v'tovdu Derech ki yivar ha'matapo Adre kol hosevo We're going to stop here. The third verse, the third psalm, has five verses, and we will choose them as nine verses. So it would be too long to actually do in the time we have left. Does anyone have any questions? Tonight's classes at 4:30 West Coast time, we have a mini Zohar. We are in section 23 of Parashat Noach. And at our 7 o'clock class will be questions and answers. And hopefully people will bring questions. I bid you all shalom. Yes.
Hello. Is this going to be on the recording, this teaching morning?
Yes. Yes, we're recording each class, and later this afternoon I will put it up on the recording.
Right.
I bid shalom to all. Have a beautiful day.
Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.